If anyone else wants to come up front and have a seat on the floor to watch the potter, please feel free to do so. As you heard the scripture read to us, Jeremiah goes to the potter's house because God told him that as he was at the potter's house, that God would have a word for him. And you and I both know that sometimes we need to see something happen to understand what God is saying to us, as well as hear it. And maybe even we get more from just watching than we do from someone speaking. So today, we're going to be like Jeremiah. And we're going to go down to the potter's shed, to the potter's house, and see if God has a word for us. I think God does. So let's see what happens when we go down to the potter's shed. Well, here is God, the great potter, if we get a lesson from our potter, is really doing some work with the clay. He is intimately involved with this clay. This potter is not telling the clay what to do or watching from a distance. The potter is as close to that clay as you can possibly get. That potter has his hands on the clay in an intimate way. This potter, if I watch him, and I have watched him for many years, he enjoys the clay. It's not just something else. He takes that clay and he can see what that clay can become. That it can be more than a lump there on this board. This potter is intimately involved with the clay. If you haven't made the connection yet, that's how God works with us. God doesn't talk to us from a distance and say, "You'll go ahead down there. I'll be looking over you." God is here. God works with us. God puts God's hands around us and molds us and shapes us and calls us into being just that the potter does. Does our potter have anything he wants to say? Okay.
I think very often when we think about God becoming involved in our lives as intimately as this, we tend to think about the story of the conversion of Saul to Paul. And we expect it to be that kind of event where we'll be knocked off our horse, we'll be blinded, we'll have scales on our eyes, and that's how God will affect us. Well, God can certainly do that, but if you read a lot of the Bible, that's a very, very rare event that's that dramatic. More often, you'll find that God's influence on people's lives is much more gentle or subtle, and that we, the people, need to be open and available for that message to get through to us. And as I'm working with this clay, I can tell you that all the things that I do with the clay are very, it may look dramatic, but it's very gentle sort of pressure and movement. And if the clay isn't in the right condition to receive that, then it just won't work. So if we're wondering if God is holding us and molding us, I can tell you that God is. We just may not feel it. God is there. God has a plan. When students begin to learn to do this, they throw something on the wheel and they don't know what they're going to make. And that's a problem. It takes a while to get them to, like, I know what I'm trying to make right now. I know what shape I want it to be. I have a goal for this, and that all is important because it's it tells me how much clay I need to use and how far I need to open the clay and how tall I need to make it and all those things. So God has the same kind of plan for us. And those things that we call decisions that we make in our life, and we have free will, we make choices, and we've decided to do this, we've decided to do that. Well, those things may not be what God's calling for you to do. And you may get a message at some point if you're open to that. And it even happens for people who have given their life and career to the message and preaching to God. My mother, a few years ago, was about at the end of her career, she thought. She had been a pastor at some really nice churches. When she started, she always thought that she would like to end up being a district superintendent. Well, you know, she had had her career for quite a while, and she thought she was at her last church, and she was going to retire from there. And then she got the call to ask her to be a district superintendent. Well, you know, district superintendent is a whole different kind of job. You have to move another again, and you have to, you know, you really have to be ready to do a lot of different running around and all this stuff. And so people were giving her their opinion, and I think she knew what to do, but she was, I guess you'd say, a little distressed about it. So she wasn't quite sure, because she was going to have to move my father again, and he had moved already, I don't know how many times, which sort of messes up his jobs. And so she called me, and she was crying, and she asked me, you know, what should I do? And this wasn't because I was intelligent or smart or knew her very well. I think I had a message from God, frankly. And I said, you know exactly what you have to do. You've decided this years and years ago when you got ordained. You said, I will serve the church, and I will be your messenger, and I will go where you send me. And that was it. That's what she just needed to hear it in words, as opposed to that gentle nudge of God. So I think, you know, God helped her through me to say, you know, he's right. I don't know why I'm upset about this decision. It's, the decision was made 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I just need to go through with it. And she did, and was very happy.
Did you see what our pot? I could keep him talking, but I don't want you to miss what he just did here. He trimmed the top of the pot. Sometimes God does that with us, needs to trim a little off to make us into the vessel that God can use for the goodness of the world and for our own to become the pot God wants. And he continues to use this wedge, I guess you call it, to take some of the clay off, to perfect the pot that he's using. And then he can use us to be a voice, like Jay was for me in those days. As he continues to work on this pot, one of the things that you'll notice, he rarely ever takes his hands off of this pot. Because if God's hands is on the pot or on us, he can continue to mold us and make us. But if the potter takes his hands off, it stays the same. It isn't perfected. It is just what it is. But when he puts his hands back on the pot, he can trim things away that don't need to be there. He can mold it into being what it needs to be. And we'll see if he's going to do anything else with this pot.
We can.
That's not the one you're going to.
Not yet.
Okay. So he's ready now to show us another thing God does with us. You know, all of us from time to time miss the mark. Commit sin. Evil comes into our world, and it messes up who we are in God's plan. But as you will notice what the potter is going to do, the potter can take this pot and he will do something with it here.
Yep, it broke. You're right. So now what are we going to do? Take this. This is the first step of reworking or working a piece of clay. You put it on the table or the board and you wedge it. And while you're wedging it, it gets rid of all the impurities in there, gets rid of the air bubbles, it gets rid of any stuff in there you don't want. And it realigns the clay particles, it organizes them so they're all going the same direction.
This potter isn't particularly being gentle now with this clay. This potter is doing something to get the impurities out. And sometimes God's hand on us will feel a little challenging because God needs to work the impurities out of us so that something new can be made out of the clay that we are. Now he's centering us again on the center of the wheel. So our lives are centered in God as he begins to make something new from us.
Several years ago, when I was a local pastor up in Rome, I was driving to church with my daughters. Edie is the older one, and Mary was the younger one, and they were probably 6 and 8 years old, maybe. And they were in the back seat, and I was talking to them about their favorite movies, I guess. And Edie said, "Jesus Christ Superstar," the original one, with all the music and the dancing, you know, a lot of fun, very energetic movie. And, you know, I was pleasantly surprised by that, of course. You know, I'm driving to church to preach, and she's like, "Jesus Christ Superstar is my favorite movie." You know, so she nailed that one. And then I asked Mary if she liked that movie, and Mary was like, "No, I don't like that movie at all." And I was like, "Uh-oh." "Well, why not, Mary? What's wrong with that movie?" She said, "Well, it's happy, sad, happy, sad, happy, sad, and then sad at the end, and I don't like that movie." And I was like, "Okay, well, that's what part of what being a Christian is about, is having challenges and keeping your faith through those difficult times." And of course, you know, you have to be open to the movement of God in your life, and it will be challenging. Sometimes you may want to resist that message, and you know, we know what happens then. You get swallowed by a whale or something. You know, it can be dramatic. But being open and willing to receive God's message will change your life. And it may be difficult, but eventually you'll see that you've gotten closer to God's will. And that's a wonderful feeling.
As the potter does a new creation from this clay, we know that that's what God does in our lives. There's never a time that God doesn't give us a second chance. That if we're pliable and open, God will remold and remake us so that we can be more the disciples that God has called us to through Jesus Christ.
I think the woman that was doing the music talked about it really well. She said it's about surrender. And there is something within us that aren't big fans of surrender, I think. But surrendering to God is extremely important in terms of God working in your life. If you don't surrender to the will of God, then you're making your own decisions, and those decisions, again, may not be what God has in mind. I had a friend in graduate school who had been throwing for about, I don't know, maybe 5, 8 years, something like that. And he was a new guy there, and he told me he had made the perfect coffee cup. It was the best one he'd ever made, and it was the best one he was ever going to make, so he was going to take it and make a mold of it so that he could simply use that mold and make that coffee cup over and over again, like for the rest of his life. And he was like 23 maybe, and I was, you know, not agreeing with that, but, you know, he said, "What's the best pot you've ever made?" And I said, "The one I'm making tomorrow, you know, it's the next one. It's, I haven't, you know, that's always going to be the answer, you know, because I'm in love with the process of making pots, and the more you make, the better they get, you know. So the concept of having a perfect pot at 23 and then stopping was a little bit strange to me. So the process of making pottery or whatever it is you do with your life is what you need to be in love with, because if it's the pots themselves, then you're getting the cart before the horse a little bit. You know, this process is important because that's God as a process God. That's what God is involved in, processes all the time. And in the scripture, he's talking about Israel, you know, which is a whole lot of people. But we also know that God can work on us individually. So there's, God is involved in so many processes in our life and in our loved ones' lives. And surrendering to that
. So as he continues to pull this pot up with the work of working from the inside and around the outside, trimming and molding and making, I think he's going to do something here in a minute that we all want to see.
Yeah.
But while we get to that point, all pots or vessels are made for a purpose. Some, that I think this one, is made for pure beauty. That's what I would do with this. The bowl over here, I might have with my cereal. But we all have a purpose. God uses us for a purpose. So the question might be for us, what kind of a pot are we? Are we one that's strong, that can stand wear and tear, that can be used for many different purposes? Are we a pot that chips and cracks easy, that we have to be very careful around because it's fragile? God will use every pot, every one of us as a vessel. We need to choose what kind of a pot that we're going to be so God can use us. Now, all pots have flaws. I may not see any of the flaws in these beautiful pots that he's brought with him, but I can guarantee you, if you talk to the potter, he would tell you what's wrong with each one of them. But you see, flaws aren't the important thing, because God can still use us. And sometimes it's in the flaws that the light of God comes through. Because when this potter does this pot, he can do amazing things as God does with us. And I think he's getting ready to show us now how God works here in a new way.
Yeah. the breath of God, right?
God blows God's breath into us so that we can be all. And maybe God's mouth gets dirty too when he blows breath into us. Who knows?
Yeah, God makes some sacrifices for us. No question about that.
So as we look at what we have here, what we're learning today, let this be a time when we see that God works with us in so many intimate ways. That God isn't at a distance, that God continues to trim us and mold us and make us. And there's a purpose for us. Let us continue to see that sometimes we need to go to the potter shed. That we need to go and see what God's word is for us as God shapes our lives so that we can make disciples of Jesus Christ throughout the world.